beautiful presence of the Lord here this morning, and we were blessed in the first service. I know it's we had daylight savings, right? And plus, we moved our service forward. We didn't start accidentally late 15 minutes. We're starting our second service at 11 o'clock now, in case you've been missing the announcements we've been doing. And so if you're late this morning, you're especially special at being late to just about everything. Because we gave you 15 minutes, the clock gave you an hour, but it looks like we've had good full services, both services, and so appreciate what God's doing, appreciate that he's given us a heart to expand and to grow. And I don't know, maybe you've noticed, maybe you haven't, we don't pass an offering bag anymore, we don't collect tithes and offerings publicly in this room, we just leave that to person's own conscience before God to do. At the Welcome Center in the back, there's multiple ways you can give, from a credit card to writing a check, if anyone still has a checkbook. You can use phones, all that stuff. Yeah, okay. That's the best way. We actually prefer checks because there's a good record of your giving. It's easier for us to file that away. And so if you just want to use your checkbook, finish up those checks, writing them to the church, we're happy to help you with that. We just want to be helpful, you know. We just want to be helpful. We're here to help you. Oh, Jesus. You in? Okay, as long as Ishmael's in, I know he's got enough money to cover all of us, so that's good. We'll take next week off, and we just let you write the check for next week. He's good. He's so good to us. He's blessed us with a life we couldn't have earned. We didn't deserve it. We're alive. The sun is shining. We had an amazing time here this Thursday for Trunk or Treats, October 31st, and we just opened our doors up to the community. Pretty much all the other events were canceled that day because who knows, it really rained hard on Thursday, and it was forecasted to rain hard throughout the day. They were saying, you know, buckets and buckets, and so thankfully most of it went just to the west of us, and they got obliterated all the way up through just to our west, all the way up, just major record flood damage and stuff. But thankfully, it was just spitting on us. We say it's just not really raining, or just kind of like the sky was just spitting on us, just little misty pieces of water flying down. But so everyone else canceled. We decided to go forward. Not we, my sister. I mean, when I say we, I mean my sister, and most of what I say as the pastor here. I say we, I mean Justina. So I'm thinking, I'm texting her, I'm like, we're probably going to cancel this, right? We got 100 bales of hay coming. What farmer is going to bring hay in the middle of the rain? Anybody that's ever baled hay knows, you know, rain destroys everything. You get a bale of hay wet, and it's just gone. It's shot. So sure enough, they come out in the rain. They must think we're crazy, but we're like, no, we're going forward. We're going to move it upstairs. We're going to have the whole trunks set up in little stations around this room here. And instead of me trying to explain how that all worked, why don't I just let these guys make a little video. They can show you the chaos that happened up here. The same chaos you'll see on the camera here was equally as packed downstairs and equally out under the tent where the hay bales were. I mean, there were proper maize on Thursday evening. They're quite destroyed now, but we had a nice little 130-bale thing for the kids to play on. It was chaos everywhere. It was raining outside. We had a fire going, s'mores out in the rain. I'm thinking, you know, this is just the way that we think. We don't just shy away from stuff. Or, like I said, my sister, I say we, but it's her. I'm like, you sure we shouldn't just cancel? It's like, no. People are ready to go. It's going to happen. It's going to be great. And it was. It was awesome. But kudos to her and for the teams. You guys did such a great job setting up in this space. And we were trying to do a head count. We were just counting people as they approached the building. We had someone there counting at around, was 5 to 7, around 6:30. It was 800 people. And it was hard at that point to tell who was. That sounded like one of those old thermoses I used to have. Anybody else have the thermoses, like not the Yeti ones or whatever those are now, where like, you know, they're built like, yeah, you had, if you dropped it on your way to school, like your lunch was canceled because it was all glass inside, and unless you wanted tomato soup, you know, with a side of broken glass instead of crackers. Yeah, those were serious thermoses. What was I saying? Oh, over 800 people came through. Over 800 people came through from the community, and we kind of stopped counting because people were kind of coming and going, double dipping. Who doesn't want free candy, you know, and all that. So I'm just so blessed by the amount of people. You can imagine the cleanup. You saw what was going on there, donuts and stuff. I mean, the amount of cleanup that went into this room where we're sitting now. Just people that are, you know, behind the scenes, just wanting to reach the community. If you want to be a part of that, just put your name and a phone number. I just like telling people, if you're interested in helping out some way, just name, phone number at the welcome desk. And somebody, and I say somebody, I mean my sister, will probably call you and say, hey, we want to put you to work. There's lots to do. There's many. We've got some great teams here for you to be involved in. We want everyone to be a part of this idea that we can make a difference in our community, and the community should know who we are and that we're here to make it better. And I don't think that's too lofty of an expectation. I think that's what we find written in Scripture. Go into all the world, I think Kingston, last I checked, was still on the planet Earth. All right. Well, I don't want to take any more time because special treat for you today. My wife is going to bring the message. My wife, Elaine, is going to bring the message. People say, you always call her your wife. Nobody even knows her name. Elaine Ortman is going to bring the message this morning. And it's just cool. We've been talking so much about what the children are doing downstairs in their Sunday school lessons and how much it's just impacting me to reread some of the Old Testament things in the book of Joshua and how they're still relevant. And there's that Christ connection that if you're a parent, you're getting these messages through Facebook. Make sure that you're reading them, double-checking with your children. I know our son Jordan was so excited. He came home after Sunday school last Sunday. We were in the living room, and he comes in. He's like, you are not going to believe what God did. You know, and he's telling his story about what he learned in Sunday school about something that happened in the book of Joshua. And, you know, he was just like, wow, you know, we knew God's powerful and superheroes are just, you know, our human version of what God really is in his own supreme power and might. But anyway, we were talking and I just realized there was so much that she was feeling and that she was hearing the Lord speak to her about specific things that are on my heart. And I was like, you know what? Give my a break and the people's ears a break for a week and listen to someone who just loves Jesus, loves her family, serves us so amazing. And she's, I lose track of the year, so I don't try to guess anymore. It's just been a really, really long time. But she says it doesn't feel like it was a long time. It feels like it was a short time that she's been my sweetie. So that's good. I think that's good. Anyway, I took it as good. Come on, baby. Stop me from yapping and getting myself in trouble.
Thank you. Aww. He's a keeper. We'd go camping at the shore and, you know, you decide which fish you're going to hold on to and keep putting in the cooler and which ones you're going to let go. And the kids always thought we were catching keepers, you know. It's like, no, they're bluefish. But they're like, what are you catching? We're catching keepers. Well, yeah, we only kept the keepers. And he's a keeper. So it's been awesome doing the stuff with the kids and everything that they're doing down there. If you're not involved in kids ministry yet, you're missing out. They have a blast down there. It's a blast to be with them. They're just so much fun. They have so much energy. And watching the light of God show up in their face when they realize the truth of Scripture and that this isn't just some fantastical story that somebody made up, that it's true and it's real and it's really, really amazing. And so, you know, in thinking about, you know, everything swirling around, you know, I have to admit I had a lot of difficulty first service staying on track. Because there's so much in my heart that I'm just bursting at the seams in all directions for everything that he's saying and doing and wants to do. And I have to stay, got to stay in control here. So a couple of weeks ago, there was a word that came that said, dare to live like we know the end of the story. Can we live that way? Do we have the intestinal fortitude, as they would say, the guts, to live like we know the end of the story? You have the excitement of a movie isn't the same exciting movie the second time around because the cliffhangers, you know how it ends, and the car chases and the scary parts, and you know who's going to make it and who doesn't, and you know the good guy wins, and you know it. And so when you watch it the second time, it might still be enjoyable. You might still laugh at all the funny parts, but it's not the same because there is a peace in your heart about what you didn't know before. And yet, the Lord gave us a very clear blueprint. He told us how it's all going to end. He told us we win. He told us we have the victory. He told us because of the cross we can walk as conquerors. He told us all that. And yet, somehow, we live like we don't know it. And so, you know, we can get harder on ourselves about it, but don't, you know, because if the Israelites did it, we were going to do it. They forgot everything that the Lord did for them. He parts the Red Sea. The next day, they're like, we're going to die. You left it out here to die. You know, we could be so judgmental of them, right? But we do the same thing. And so in trying to sort out, okay, yeah, we need to live like we know the end of the story. And so I started reading the end of the story again. And in the book of Revelation, which is a truly amazing book, chapter 19, verse 10, says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when I read that, it kind of hit me in my heart. And you know how something can kind of touch you in your heart before it gets to your head? You know, and that's okay. I heard Bill Johnson say one time, your heart can go places your head can't. And so if it hits you in your heart first, that's okay. But I needed it to be revealed. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so the testimony being that everything Jesus said and did was written down as a testimony. But then the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so the prophetic is something that it can be tricky to talk about, the things of the spirit. But it's very clear in Scripture the two jobs of the prophetic. The one, which is, I think, a little bit more rarely, is that it will foretell something that's about to happen that no one would otherwise know by natural means. Prophetic word. You are going to move to a city by this time next year. You are going to get a raise in your job. It's something that you would not know by natural means. It's not just wishful thinking. It's a word from the Lord, and it's as sure as the day is long. But the other element of prophecy, which is much more useful even now in the church, is that it's an edifying of the body. Edifying coming from the word edifice, which means building. It is a building up of the church. It is a shoring of the foundation. It is a securing of the stones that are laid down so that we have a firm place to be able to build from. Because he wants us to build, and God doesn't do things small. He always does things big. And if you're going to build something big, you need a strong foundation. And so the prophetic, often in uttering of Scripture, will be the edification of the church. And in that edification, the word is released into a situation so that it can change the trajectory that might otherwise have been not what he wanted, not his plan, not the best for his people. He's not interested in second best. He's not interested in close but no cigar. He is sure fired. And so when he releases a prophetic word, his word into a situation, it guarantees that his word is going to hit the mark. You know, that awesome word in Isaiah that says, my word does not return to me void, but goes out and accomplishes for which I sent it. And so he will use his people in the prophetic to be able to release his word into a situation and be able to make sure that the trajectory of that thing happens exactly the way he intended. And he will use us to do it. And so he releases his spirit, and it becomes active. It's not something that's passive. It becomes active in our lives as a living word. So, you know, the word testimony comes from the Hebrew. It means to say again, when you testify as a witness. It can also be translated to do again. And so what Jesus did and what he said were written down and recorded because those were things that we were also supposed to do and say and accomplish. And the Father, in saying the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, he's saying, you write down everything I said and did, both in the past, what he's doing now, what he said to you this morning in your quiet time. Remember it, because I plan on doing it again. I plan on repeating it. Those things are proof that I can do this now, that whatever your situation is, I got it. So that brings me to Joshua, which is what the kids are doing downstairs. It was so awesome talking with them about it this week. As Josh said, they were just like stories that we take for granted. You know, when I was a church kid, you know, I was in the church from embryo, and you kind of take for granted, but then when your kids come home and they're like, you would not believe what we learned this week. Joshua 10 is the chapter following Jericho, and really just in synopsis, the Israelites are clearing the land in Canaan. And the force and strength of the people is so great, of the nation of Israel, that they are literally striking fear in the hearts of every other city and king. Everyone's terrified. And so they begin to make alliances, right? Now, if you just look at the numbers game, historians say that when Israel left Egypt, they were about 6 million strong. God bless the babies. Israel was about 6 million strong, which is, that's a good-sized city. So if you're just playing numbers, any one of those kings and their armies had probably a good chance against Israel, except that they were winning such mind-blowing victories that people were terrified. And so in chapter 10, you have five kings that align themselves together and try to attack the only king and city that made peace with Israel. They said, we don't want to touch Israel, but we're going to wipe out his ally because he's a turncoat. And so they're marching against this other hard name. I forget what it was. And listen, in the Bible, if you're reading, you get to the hard names, just skip it. There is nobody that's going to say you got more out of the Bible because you learned that hard name. Just get to the point. The point of it is that we win, right? So they align themselves with Mr. Hardname, and he comes and he goes over to Joshua and says, hey, remember how we're buds now? I'm in a heap of trouble. Could you please come and help me? And so Israel comes, and they begin to fight against these five kings. Now, it's a huge battle. Israel's kicking butt and taking names. And how many people know it's way easier to fight a battle in the daytime than the nighttime? But the sun goes down, is beginning to set, and Joshua says, whoa, we need a little bit more light here. And so he says to God, hey, pause the sun, pause the moon, we need some light, let us finish, and then you can carry on. And God says, okay. And he does it. So the sun stays in the sky. It says the sun paused and the moon paused until Joshua was able to do what he needed to do. The army starts flying, just total retreat. The Lord decides to finish them off and sends hailstones so big they're killing people. It says in the word that more people were killed from the hailstones than in the battle. Okay? Enemy totally routed, all five kings captured and ultimately executed. The place clean. Just like that, God said. Now, that was not the end of the nations of Canaan. Because in the very next chapter, chapter 11, we read that seven kings align themselves and create an allegiance to march against Israel. Seven. Now you'd think that because of the victory they just had, Joshua's like, we got this. Mm-mm. Why do we know this? Because in chapter 11, the Lord comes to Joshua and says, don't be afraid. Now, God doesn't say things without purpose. That tells me Joshua's afraid. He was terrified. So it should, in so many ways, bring us to a place of recognizing that sometimes the first reaction that we have to a situation does not necessarily mean we are ungodly. If a situation confronts us and we are confused or we're afraid, we feel anxiety or even anger, just because we feel those sentiments does not mean that we are not in the will of God. But it does mean that whatever we do next had better align with the will of God and what he says in his word, or else we're not going to be on the wrong trajectory. Amen? And so the father comes and he says, don't be afraid, because I'm going to give these guys to you too. We got this. And so Joshua was able to march out in confidence. He goes out, clean victory again. And Canaan is that much more the land of the Israelites. Now, in all of this, there is something that is so clear. The Father didn't just have these things recorded and preserved over thousands of years so that we have some cool stories. He says, read them, remember them, because whatever I did, I want to do it again. It is my testimony. I want to do it again, and I want to use you in the same way that I used them. In those kings, those evil kings, the five kings in chapter 10, the seven kings in chapter 11, they created an allegiance. And though those seven kings should have easily wiped out an army of a nation of only 6 million, usually in history when they made a head count, they took a census, the 6 million were men, able-bodied men. They didn't even count the women and children, usually. And of those 6 million, not all of them were in the army. And so numbers-wise, you're talking about a very small number compared to a very vast number. The word says that the multitude of those seven armies was like the sands in the ocean. That they just look like. Yeah, I'd be scared too. But the enemy knows. All seven of those kings, they were still afraid. They were just hoping they could win. Because they knew the strength of what they were going after. The Israelites needed reminding. And you need reminding. Because the enemy knows what's in you. And so it will always come out in a greater force than you think is necessary. But it also knows that you will ultimately have the victory. Because though you may not remember the end of the book, he does. And he will do all he can to keep you from thinking about it. Everything he can. So there's another word that came. And the challenge was, please, write it down. If the Lord's done something to you, especially something significant, even if it's just a few notes, write it down. Because we forget. I forget. I forget to walk in the confidence of the one who's the author of the story. The author of the story is my dad. He's my heavenly father. One of my children asked me one time, how do all the movies end well? Because they're scripted. Someone decided that's the way it's going to end. They didn't just throw a bunch of actors together and say, hey, figure something out. They scripted it. And as sure as those actors can walk in the script of whatever they were reading on those lines, we can walk in the script of what he's given us. He gave it to us. And we need it so desperately because we're not going to be able to have the confidence of the church to be able to walk and preach the gospel and lay hands on the sick and raise the dead and all of those things that he promised we would do if we don't remember, oh yeah, he's got this. Oh yeah, we do this all the time. Could you imagine if we started praying for people with the confidence of, oh yeah, he does this all the time. This is nothing. He does this all the time. This happens. And you're going to be healed. And your family's going to be saved. And it's going to be great. We still get blown. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. The salvation is a miracle. But we still get blown away by it. Right? Yeah. You know, yes, the pain is real. The struggle is real, people. I'm almost 50, so I can wear glasses on stage and not be teased too badly, I hope. So, Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers and authors, he's in England, and in 1856, he wrote, I will contend that God has done what God has done once is a prophecy of what he intends to do again. Whatever he has done is then to be looked on as a precedent. Let us with earnestness seek what God would restore to us in the faith of these men of old, that we may richly enjoy the grace as in the days of old. What he's done is a precedent. Every word, every act, a prophecy of what he intends to do again. Testimony. Now, he wrote that in 1856 in England. And who knows, maybe it was just absorbed as a great sermon. Because you can very easily sit and say, oh, good point. But nothing changes until there's an act of ours, to walk and live and perhaps even write a few things down about what he's done. Everybody good? Okay. I love Deuteronomy. Well, I love the whole Bible, but you know, Deuteronomy, when we were raising our kids, Deuteronomy, Psalms, Proverbs, the richness of what those books say about families and children and the Lord's will and plan for them. So good. So good. And in Deuteronomy 6, it says, keep the commandments, keep the statutes, and keep the testimonies. Now, keep the commandments, right? That's pretty easy. You obey God. He tells you to do something and you do it. The statutes are his values. So keep the commandments, do what I say, keep the statutes, think the way I think. But then how do we keep the testimonies? My suggestion, I would offer that we keep what God has done, the acts that he has done in our lives and the people close to us, the things that we have seen personally, that we keep them so close to our heart that they literally become the lens from which you see your active situation and the future. That those things, those amazing works, are kept so close to the breast that they're the filter with which everything you say goes through. Everything you think goes through. Everything that comes in has to go in through that filter. Those stories, those mighty acts of God. Can you do that? Can we keep those stories so close that then every time we see something, it has to be seen through the filter of those stories? It has to be seen through the filter of healings, through the filter of victories, through the filter of financial stability. All of the things, when he said, I will do these things for you. Listen. Come on, I know I'm not the only one here that doesn't have a situation come up and be like, oh, whoo, what am I going to do now? But then the filter. We're going to do what we did last time. Remember? You're going to do what I say, and together we're going to win. You see? And then it happens, and then we get to do it again. When we're willing to walk in that way, the Christian life is a completely different plan. It's not just something that we do when we try to survive. It's an adventure. It's an exciting adventure of everything God had planned, because we can't do it on our own. It has to be him with us. The Israelites didn't conquer Canaan on their own. There was a co-laboring, a co-fighting. God fought with them. And though you might be wondering, am I doing enough? Yes, God is with you. Am I doing everything? Am I doing too much? No, God is with you. We can stand on his word, but his word says, having done all, stand. So do it all and do it with him. And it will be another testimony. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So every single testimony that we have is a prophetic word that releases the active spirit of God into your present situation to change the future. That is what we're walking in. That is the promise that we have in him. But we can't always do it in the moment unless we remember, oh, you did it this time and this time and this time and this time. You know, every time I pray for someone, it doesn't matter. It could be what could be perceived as a small thing or what could be perceived as a big thing. And every time I do, though the enemy wants to come up and say, you know, it's not going to happen this time. Just be ready. It might not happen this time. Come on, I know he says it to you. He says it to me all the time, and I pray for people a lot. I embarrass myself sometimes praying for people. The only reason why I can do it is because I can say, I did see that leg go. I get longer. I did watch that headache disappear. I did watch that spine straighten. I did watch those lungs get cleared because there was one x-ray and then there was another. I did see all those things. I did pray and people's knees were healed. I did pray in the middle of a gym and embarrass myself in front of all these believers, non-believers. Lord, bless this ankle. Oh, I'm fine now. It's just hot. We learned hot is good. It's only because you remind yourself that when you remind yourself of what he's done, he says, please keep the testimony because that is evidence of what I plan on doing. And he never stays level. It's always increasing. It's always getting greater. Jesus said greater things are will you do. Oh, my goodness. What didn't he do? What didn't he do? The word says if you could write down everything that he did, there would be so many books it would fill the whole earth. They couldn't write it all down. But he said greater things. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so he is saying in every act, he is prophesying over all of his children, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do. Thank you, Jesus. In Psalm 78, it says, teach the history so that we and future generations can pass it on. Verse 7, that they may set their hope in God to make that their automatic response. In verse 9, it talks about an army that turns away from the battle in fear. An army of the children of God. And it says, because they forgot the goodness of God. We want to see God move and affect our current situation. And we do that by keeping the testimony. The fact that the Lord fought with his children and cleansed the land so that he could create a nation that was going to be a light to the entire world. That would be the vehicle where the Savior of the world could come and change the rest of the planet. And now, we as his children are called to cleanse the land. There is a land that needs healing. And it's our job. And we will see it as the impossible task that it is unless we keep the testimony and recognize that every testimony is prophetic. Testimony. Say it again and do it again. Remind yourself. Jesus said, I did it once. I want to do it again. I'm going to do it again. Will you let me do it with you? I'm going to pick somebody. Great or small, young or old, rich or poor. It doesn't matter. You just got to say yes. Say yes to what he's doing. The children of Israel said yes. The ones that conquered the land, they said yes. Their parents said no. They said yes. The parents were left to die in the wilderness. But they said yes. They took the land. And we will fall by the wayside. Yes, we will fall by the wayside. Like every other church that was not able to pass this on to next generations. But that's why what we're doing with the children is so important. That's why for them to learn this is so important. That's why it can't be left just to the Sunday school teacher. Talk to your children through the week about what they're learning. It is powerful. Let them teach you a couple things. If nothing else, the sheer innocence of their own revelation will bless your heart. Because seeing the truth of the scripture shine through the heart of a child, it will change your life. Can we just stand? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you so much for all that you've given us, for all that you've said, for all that you've done, Lord God. Let us see them in a greater, brighter light so that they become the filter that we see the rest of the world. The way you see them, Lord, the way that you can do only what you can do. Father, we thank you so much. All that you've done, all that you're going to do, you long to show us. You bring us the truth of your word. And Lord, right now I ask that you would strengthen your children, strengthen your church, that they would develop such a passion for your word and learning the history, keeping the testimony, your commandments, your statutes. All of those things, Lord God, you are shoring up your church. Lord, for those that need to write something down, convict them by your spirit to write it down, to hold on to it. Who knows what it will need be needed for? Oh, Lord, every day marches on and time gets shorter and shorter. And you're coming back sooner and sooner. Lord, there's so much to be done. Your church has so much to do. What an amazing, exciting adventure that you have planned for us. The road before us, truly, truly awesome. And you go with us. You walk with us. Your spirit goes before us. And your glory is our rear guard, Lord God. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the strength and power and joy that you are instilling in your church and in your children. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, for your prophecy, and for your testimony. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. If you need any prayer today, there's folks that are here to pray for you. The pastoral team is available. Otherwise, have a beautiful Sunday.